Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, we're talking Jaden McDaniels again. A little bit of Jaden compared to Anthony Edwards. What some of the defensive metrics say about each of them. Why McDaniels has an edge over Ant. What Ant needs to do to catch up. And why this is such a potent perimeter defensive duo. What's the ceiling of this perimeter defense for the Wolves? Also, the Wolves-Lakers matchup Friday night, highly anticipated, an important game in terms of the Western Conference scramble for the playoffs. Also, Wolves-Kings Saturday, plenty to get to here today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend and happy Timberwolves game day. Wolves-Lakers tonight. We'll get to that a little later in the show. First of all, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you like to listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app, along with all the other Minnesota podcasts. You can get the Locked On Sports Minnesota app at both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also, of course, follow the show on Twitter as well, at Locked On T-Wolves, and my account, which is at BBeacon, and that's with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. I spent most of the show on Thursday talking about Jaden McDaniels and his defense, talking through some B-ball index numbers, his on-court impact for the Wolves, the two-man lineups, all that. I want to continue that a little bit today, but also take a bit more of an Anthony Edwards slant to it. And what I mean by that is we've talked at length over the last couple of weeks about the tandem, and rightfully so, of McDaniels and Edwards. I think it all kind of started with the high-profile lockdown of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving at the end of the Timberwolves overtime win over the Mavericks a couple of weeks ago. And that clip of Luka and Kyrie not getting a shot off in 11 seconds or so at the end of a close game rightfully went viral, right? And so we've been talking about that since then. And then in between, we've had the game against the Warriors where Klay Thompson had a good game against the Wolves, but Jaden McDaniels bothered him and did a really good job defending him for much of the game. Obviously, a shorthanded Warriors team, no Steph, et cetera, but still impressive. And then the Clippers game, just this last Tuesday night on national TV, TNT game, the Timberwolves showed out defensively once again. And it was primarily Edwards and McDaniels that grabbed the headlines. And again, rightfully so, largely McDaniels on Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Edwards on Paul George. And there were a couple of possessions there towards the end of the game where the Timberwolves just absolutely locked down the Clippers. And yeah, George got hot late. The Clippers did all kinds of stuff to run him off of screens and get him some open looks. And the Wolves, I thought, did a good job of challenging those. So there was the one I talked about on the postgame pod, which would have been Wednesday's show following the game, when George got off a three. Edwards actually fought through a couple of screens and I thought got a pretty good contest. Chris Finch was upset on the sideline, but I thought the effort was good from Edwards. The execution was generally good from Edwards, and the result was just not what the Wolves wanted, but that happens when you're playing against great players and good teams. And there was the possession when McDaniels simply would not, I think it was Kawhi, simply would not allow a catch of the ball. Just denied the catch for, half the possession until the Clippers gave up and went in another direction. And it's just the Mavs example, the Clippers example especially, are, and I also actually talked about this on Thursday's show, that the Clippers and Mavericks are actually really good matchups for the Wolves because of this. Because in isolation, if teams insist on playing isolation, McDaniels and Edwards are two of the better perimeter isolation defenders in the league, McDaniels in particular. And so you look at this and you wonder, how good could this team be defensively? You have Rudy Gobert, one of the best overall defensive players of the generation. I mean, he's a three-time defensive player of the year, three-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA player, I believe. Not quite as dominant this year defensively, but still very, very good. All the metrics agree. The Wolves are currently number 10 in defensive rating league-wide. So the Wolves are a good defensive team, and Rudy Gobert is a big part of that. So what's the ceiling of this team defensively? Well, and I touched on this a little Thursday, too. I worry a little about some of the teams that rely more on the flow of the offense, ball movement, certainly scoring in transition. The Timberwolves have been an awful transition team this year on both ends of the floor, but especially defensively. So teams that are willing to play with pace and able to play with pace well and cleanly, not turn the ball over a lot, and also be not patient in the half court as much as disciplined in the half court and are willing to move the ball from side to side, pass, cut, et cetera, all the things that teams like, say, the Warriors are very good at. And Memphis does some ISO stuff with Ja, but they generally have pretty good ball movement when they're healthy and Desmond Bane's on the floor and among others. Obviously Phoenix does a ton of pick and roll, but there's anybody there can beat you, and they're going to do more ISO now with Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant. So teams that are patient and really more disciplined and willing and able to move the ball from side to side can beat the Wolves, because Minnesota doesn't have, I don't want to say they don't have the attention span, because that sounds juvenile and I don't think that's fair. I don't think the Wolves have the discipline. We'll just say it that way, right? So teams that are more disciplined than the Wolves, teams that have an offensive discipline that's greater than the Wolves' occasional lack of defensive discipline, can beat Minnesota. And I would point the finger mostly at Anthony Edwards, not strictly. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns certainly struggled with this earlier this year and for his career. D'Angelo Russell really struggled with this when he was on the team. But losing track of your guy, or losing track of your teammate's guy if you're switching off the ball, has been a real problem for Minnesota. And tons of clips of D'Lo doing it this year. Ant does it, though. Cat does it. And McDaniels isn't blameless either. I think Edwards is probably currently the one that's the biggest culprit in terms of just getting back cut on, missing assignments occasionally because he's ball watching. I mean, it's something that has been a consistent issue. And when you get closer to the playoffs and you get to the playoffs or the play-in, and you're playing these well-coached teams that move the ball, that's going to be an issue. Now, against teams like Dallas and LA, the Clippers, it might work out okay because Ant and Jaden can lock in on the ball. But teams that are moving the ball side to side, first, they're pushing you in transition, right? They're getting out and they're running. They're grabbing a defensive rebound, running down the floor, probably beating you on a rim run, or just simply getting all the way to the cup off the dribble. Because, again, poor transition defense for Minnesota. And if not, secondary break, the Wolves struggle. And then in the half court, sometimes the attention span wanes, or the ability to contain off-ball cutters really wanes. And, again, I come back to Anthony Edwards. And we talked about the B-ball index numbers for Jaden McDaniels on the show on Thursday. And, the quick reminder is the numbers are all incredible. All the defensive numbers at B-ball index. So, the biggest ones that we talked about were on ball perimeter defense. He's 98th percentile. That's an A plus league wide, according to B ball index. As an off ball chaser defensively, he's 94th percentile. That's an A. He has a 97th percentile in terms of matchup adjusted defensive feet per minutes played, ball screen navigation, which is to me the most impressive. He's a 99th percentile A plus in ball screen navigation, interior defense, the rim defense. Defensive field goal percentage is an A. Rim point save per 75 possessions is an A+. Like, the rim protection stuff's also really impressive because he's not a center, right? He's somebody who's getting help side blocks. He's catching up to guys that might beat him off the dribble or get an angle as a cutter or whatever it might be, and getting chase down blocks from behind, rear view contests, those type of things. Jaden is so impressive in every single one of those ways. Anthony Edwards, on the other hand, the metrics aren't as kind for Ant. And the eye test would tell you, man, this guy can lock in. There were examples of that in the Clippers game, too, against Paul George, against Russell Westbrook. Stan Van Gundy called it out several times in the TNT broadcast. He was clearly enamored with Ant's defense. And there are some things he's great at. Like, he has an A rating for pickpocket rating on Basketball Reference, B-ball index. The definition for that is an estimate of how active a defender is on ball with steals. That's loose ball steals per 75 possessions. 91st percentile for Anthony Edwards. He is 94th percentile in steals per 75 possessions. He's 66th percentile, which is actually a B in off-ball chaser defense, a B-plus in ball screen navigation, which, again, impressive. 79th percentile. Anthony Edwards, very, very good in ball screen navigation. And both of those things, sidebar, Not something D'Angelo Russell was good at. Not something that Jalen Noel is good at. If you want to look at other, something that Malik Beasley was horrible at the last couple of years was navigating ball screens defensively. And Ant is very, very good. And Jaden McDaniels is one of the very best in the entire league. I think there's some stats out there saying he is the best in terms of navigating screens. This has him at 99th percentile. So I guess maybe, you know, depending on where that number falls, but an A+ for Jaden McDaniels in terms of ball screen navigation on defense. But Ant has some work to do in some other areas. If you look at the defensive numbers at B-Ball Index, a lot of C's, some B's, B-minuses in terms of rim deterrence, rim rate, rim blocks, excuse me, rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected. He's actually a C. The perimeter on-ball defense is actually a C, a 51st percentile for Ant according to B-Ball Index. And that's where Jaden McDaniels was, in fact, an A. Was it 98th percentile, A+ for Jaden McDaniels. So A+ for Jaden McDaniels and a C for Anthony Edwards. Even though this number is on ball, I'd be willing to bet that this has everything to do with the waxing and waning defensive, I would say, attention span of Anthony Edwards. Of focus maybe is a nicer way to say that, a cleaner way to say that. Ant still struggles there. And if he wants to be great, then obviously that's got to improve, right? That's an area that consistency really matters. And we need to see some more of that from Anthony Edwards. And that would lift the Timberwolves' overall defense, right? They'd go from being a very, very good defense, a top 10 defense, solidly top 12 defense. If you want to give some room there, some margin there, top 12 defense, we'll call it league-wide, which is very, very good. But if Ant could consistently be fantastic off the ball, and if he could be even better on the ball all of the time instead of just when the matchup is super tantalizing, like a Ja or Luka or a Kawhi, Paul George, you know, if it's just an every night thing, then Ant goes from star to superstar. And he's got the physical tools to do it. There's no question about that. But in tandem, if McDaniels is on the vast majority of the time and Ant is on when he absolutely needs to be, there isn't really shouldn't be a more feared duo in terms of on-ball isolation defense league-wide. I mean, like, I don't know who's better. McDaniels is arguably the very best right now, and Anthony Edwards can be. But when does that consistency come into play for Ant? All right. I actually want to get to the Lakers preview next. Big game Friday night, so we'll do that. Then I want to get to Wolves-Kings preview and a quick power rankings look at NBA.com. I enjoy their power rankings and how John Schumann at NBA.com breaks down every team. So we'll close the show with all that, but let's do Lakers preview here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Nissan. Nissan's most electric player of the week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The player of the week this week is none other than Jaden McDaniels, the aforementioned Jaden McDaniels. Over three games, we'll go all the way back to the Charlotte game last Friday night. Jaden McDaniels has averaged 14.3 points per game on 60% shooting from the floor. That's also 38.5% from the three-point line. Just a hair under five rebounds per game, two assists, two steals, and a block per game in the last three. And of course, last time out, Jaden had 20 points, led the Wolves in scoring, plus six rebounds, and shot 8 of 12 from the field. Jaden McDaniels has been fantastic all week long. And I mean, that's why he's the player of the week. He was completely electric all week long, just like the Nissan Ariya. Jaden McDaniels is also, you know, in addition to being electric, I would say he's also extremely elegant and in some ways elegantly powerful. McDaniels gets free and dunks, like, he doesn't score a lot in the half court unless it's catch and shoot threes. But when he gets loose in the fast break, he is fiercely elegant, elegantly powerful, however you want to frame it. But Jaden McDaniels is right in line with what we see with the Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the 2023 Nissan Ariya, packs pin you to your seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. All right, let's talk about this Wolves-Lakers matchup. The Timberwolves and Lakers have actually, weirdly, only played each other one time this season. It was way back, was it October? I think it was actually October, the last time the Wolves and Lakers played. Yeah, it was. It was actually the Timberwolves' sixth game of the season. The Lakers were winless at the time. So Minnesota came into that game 3-2. The Lakers were 0-5. The Wolves won. LeBron played in that one in Minnesota, but there was no Anthony Davis. He missed that one. Russell Westbrook, of course, was still on the team, came off the bench for them. That was the game. I think it was an ESPN game. The Wolves were tied at halftime, but kind of pulled away in the second half. And it for a long time was kind of the example of, I would always talk about it as like, hey, this is the one complete game the Wolves played all season where it felt like they were in control. There was that, you know, there were a couple early in the season, but that Lakers one was kind of the first one against a team that people expected to be good. And of course, still has LeBron James. In that game, LeBron had 28. Nobody else in the starting lineup scored more than 12. Russ had 18 points on 17 shots off the bench, had some pretty unsightly turnovers in that game. But with no Anthony Davis, there just was no additional punch for the Lakers. On the Wolves side, Anthony Edwards had 29. Karl-Anthony Towns had 21, 8, and 7. And Rudy had 22 and 21 in his first dominant game in a Timberwolves uniform. Good game off the bench for Torian Prince in that game, too. But that was way back in October. Like, a lot has changed. Obviously, the Lakers look completely different now. LeBron is out, likely for at least another 3 weeks before he's reevaluated with the tendon issue in his foot. D'Angelo Russell, there was some thought, I thought, when I recorded Thursday's show that perhaps he would play on Friday. But since then, it's been reported that he's out Friday for the Lakers. I think his fourth consecutive game miss with the sprained ankle. So, unfortunately, no D'Lo. Like, that would have been interesting to see him play against the Wolves. Malik Beasley should play, and also Jared Vanderbilt, both of whom are starting currently for the Lakers. No LeBron, no D'Angelo Russell, so you're looking at a starting lineup that's going to rely heavily on Dennis Schroeder for some scoring. I mean, like, that, where else is your scoring going to come from unless it's, you know, unless Malik Beasley gets hot, maybe Troy Brown Jr. You're not relying on Mo Bamba. You're not relying on Jared Vanderbilt to score. You know, Rui Hachimura is coming off the bench for them. You know, Austin Reeves does some stuff off the bench for them and has played well. But primarily, you're worried about Schroeder, who can go through bouts of being really inefficient. And Beasley, like, the last time out for the Lakers, this was on Wednesday night, Beasley had 11 points on 15 shots. He was 3 of 12 outside the arc, 4 of 15 overall. It was, you know, Wolves fans know, right? Like, Beasley's hot or cold, he's shooting regardless. And if he doesn't make that first shot, you know, if you don't run him off a pin down in his first offensive possession for the Wolves, it was often off the bench last year. Or maybe he gets an easy dunk in transition because he's a really good transition player. Then the Beasley thing could go sideways in a hurry on a game-to-game basis. We saw a lot of that last year when he was coming off the bench. But starting for the Lakers, and who knows? I mean, we saw how well he played. Wolves fans saw how well he played against Denver when he went back to play the Nuggets, especially on the road. This will be in LA, but we'll see how he comes out against the Wolves Friday. Vando, of course, we saw how both of them played, actually, when they were in Utah this year against the Wolves. They'll get another crack at the Wolves this Friday. But the Lakers are playing well overall. You know, obviously the LeBron injury is a major issue, and also now the D'Angelo Russell injury is a big issue for them. But they've won 4 out of the last 5. They beat the Thunder again on Wednesday. They did lose to the Grizzlies, but before that, they won on the road against Dallas. They also beat the Warriors. They beat the Pelicans. You know, going back to, like, right before the All-Star break, they've played pretty well of late. Now, their backs are against the wall with the LeBron injury, of course. And, you know, I mean, they know they're a game behind, or the Wolves have the edge in the tiebreaker. The Lakers themselves are a game out of the 10 spot. They're only 1.5 behind the Wolves, though. This is a huge game for LA. It's also a huge game for Minnesota. The Wolves are only a half game behind the Clippers for the 7th spot after the Clippers lost on Thursday night. So the Wolves with the win would pull even with the Clippers. I think the Clippers play Friday night too. So if the Clippers lose and the Wolves win, the Clippers move up to 7th in the West. Sole possession of 7th. And they have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. And they would have the tiebreaker over the Lakers for the season if they beat the Lakers, because they only have one more game against LA. So it's a huge game in terms of tiebreaker implications, actual standing implications. And then, of course, there's also the Vanderbilt-Beasley grudge match. A lot of the season numbers for the Lakers just don't hold true anymore because, well, first of all, LeBron's not playing. I should have mentioned this already. Anthony Davis is probable to play. He missed the last game for the Lakers. And, of course, the first game against the Wolves. So, look, I mean, no LeBron and no D'Lo, but Anthony Davis is going to play. I missed that earlier when I was listing where is their offense going to come from. Forgot about Anthony Davis. He'll be playing, and that'll be an issue for the Wolves. But all that to say, no LeBron, obviously a shifting roster. I mean, the Lakers have had 24 players play at least in one game for them this season. So, yeah, I mean, things have been shifting a lot for LA. Like the season numbers, like what if I could tell you where they rank and everything, like I typically would do for a matchup, but I don't know that that's super relevant for this team. They do play fast though, and I think that's going to hold true. They want to play fast. That's what Darvin Ham would like to do. Their head coach, they're second in pace. They're kind of middle of the pack in a lot of other metrics. In general, though, they do get to the free throw line quite a bit, and they've still got guys who do that, right? Like, obviously, LeBron and AD are masters at it. Russ isn't there anymore, but Schroeder's pretty good at getting to the line as well. So you got to look out for them getting to the free throw line. We know that the Wolves struggle to keep teams off of the charity stripe, right? The Wolves are still, they're 23rd in the league in terms of opponent free throw rate, and that's actually improved a little bit. But the Wolves let opponents shoot too many free throws. That's their biggest problem defensively, besides defensive rebounding, which I've talked about plenty on this show. That's an issue. The Lakers are sixth in free throw rate. They're second in free throw attempts per game, and they're a decent free throw shooting team when they get there too. But like I said, they play fast, right? They've got a bunch of guys who can get to the line. And the Timberwolves have to do their best to keep them off the line. On the flip side, the Lakers don't commit a lot of fouls themselves. And so the free throw battle is going to be really important. For a team that's a bad three-point shooting team, the Lakers don't shoot a ton of threes. They don't make a ton of threes. I know they tried to remake the roster with Beasley and D'Lo helping them out in that category, but, you know, no D'Lo, and of course, no LeBron. So it's going to be harder to generate those open threes, in theory at least, without those guys. So if the Wolves can keep them off the free throw line, I like Minnesota's chances, even with Anthony Davis playing. And of course, the Wolves do have Rudy Gobert and Coltiero Nas-Reed available to play against. By the way, Rudy is not on the injury report after being questionable with the illness on Tuesday. He's not on the injury report as of now for Friday night. So it'll be fun to see the AD-Rudy matchup as well. We'll do the post-game podcast. We did not do one Tuesday. We'll have one Friday night late, so it'll be after midnight Central Time. But myself and Marnie Geldner from Bally Sports North will do that. So be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube page. You'll be notified when we go live. I want to close today's show, though, by talking a little bit about the Kings game Saturday. We haven't seen Sacramento in a little over a month. I also want to touch on power rankings over at NBA.com, so we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but you don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. We are now through the first 2 months of the season. I've still got Valentine's Day candy floating on the house. We gotta get rid of it. But it hasn't been easy. My goal is still to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but you don't want to compromise taste, then I have just the thing for you. You have to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious that you won't even think that they're good for you. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievably delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Plus, now you don't even need to wait around to get a box. For years on Locked On Wolves, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. You can still do that. But why wait? Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with their hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. Just make sure to thank me later. All right, let's talk about this Wolves-Kings matchup. The Timberwolves and Kings last faced off at the end of January, and they were both really fun games. Both games at Target Center. It was the old two games in 3 days at Target Center in the same venue. So the Wolves go to Sacramento this Saturday, second night of a back-to-back for both teams. And then they play the Kings again later this season yet. So tied 1-1, 2 games to play in the series. And the last time these two teams played, turnovers were the story for Minnesota. It was during that stretch where Minnesota, and like there's been plenty of these stretches, and really it's been an ongoing issue all season for the Wolves. But it was during a stretch in which turnovers were a massive issue for the Timberwolves. They turned it over, I believe, I'm going to make sure I'm right on this, I think 18 times in both games against the Kings earlier this season. 18 times in the overtime loss to the Kings. and 19 times in the win, the Wolves turned it over. So in the win, the Wolves won by 7 in the first game between the two teams. The Timberwolves turned it over 19 times. The Kings only turned it over 9. But otherwise, Minnesota played well defensively. The Kings only shot 45% from the floor, 27% from 3. And the Kings got 36 free throws in this game. So and this was incredible. 36 free throws for the Kings and only 9 turnovers while forcing 19 Minnesota turnovers. And the Timberwolves still won by 7. They were up by 9 going into the fourth quarter in this game. And we're actually down at halftime. It was a big third quarter for Minnesota that gave them the edge, and they ultimately won. Edwards had a fantastic game, 34-10-6, and was efficient from the floor, 67%, made 5 threes on 7 attempts. Was a really, really good Anthony Edwards game, and Rudy added 13 and 14, too. Of course, this was pre-trade deadline, so D'Lo had 25 on 14 shots, made 7 threes in this game. This was the D'Lo Ant combined to go 12 of 16 from outside the arc game. So that's actually, I mean, that's what made up that deficit, right? You make that many threes, you make 12 threes from your two highest usage players, you're going to overcome a minus 11 in the made free throw category and a minus 10, I guess, in the turnover category. The math was, you know, tenuous, but it worked out for the Wolves. And of course, Karl-Anthony Towns missed this game as well. The Kings were healthy. I mean, they had Sabonis, they had De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes, like all their key players played in this game against the Wolves. So Minnesota won that first game. The second game was the overtime game that the Wolves just kind of fell apart in the overtime period. But similar issues. Free throw battle, the Wolves did win. They were plus 3 in free throw attempts and I guess a minus 2 in makes. They didn't shoot well from the line, which was an issue why this game got to overtime in the first place. But turnover-wise, they lost that battle 18-12. They committed 18 turnovers just a couple nights after committing 19 against the Kings, 6 from Anthony Edwards, 3 each from Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gobert. But another good Ant game overall. 33 points, made 4 threes. They got 19 and 14 from Rudy. So Gobert's had a pair of nice games against the Kings, as has Anthony Edwards. The Kings are not a good defensive team. So it makes sense that, I mean, like, who on the Kings is defending Ant successfully on the perimeter? Like, I mean, nobody can. Who on the Kings is providing resistance for Rudy Gobert in the paint? There's not much there, right? Like, Sabonis is a good player, obviously. Harrison Barnes is a really good player. I think one of the more underrated players in the league, actually. But the Kings do not have the size to deal with Rudy Gobert. And hopefully Karl-Anthony Towns can play the next time these two teams face off, because I think Towns and Gobert together can give the Kings a host of trouble. And unless the Kings can get those guys in foul trouble, like, I actually don't hate this matchup for Minnesota. I mean, you could put McDaniels or Edwards on De'Aaron Fox. Remember, Edwards wanted that matchup. I think McDaniels struggled a bit with Fox with the speed. I mean, McDaniels is so quick laterally and so long, but De'Aaron Fox is extremely quick. It's an iffy matchup. I think you're just as good having McDaniels maybe follow Harrison Barnes around. I don't think they're going to post Harrison Barnes too much. I don't know, Kevin Huerter, I guess, if he's like, Huerter didn't play well against the Wolves earlier this year. But I think you could kind of switch off McDaniels and Edwards on De'Aaron Fox and give each of them a breather. They don't really have somebody besides Sabonis that's going to hurt you otherwise. And that's, I mean, Kyle Anderson's going to guard Sabonis. So I think it'll be interesting to see what Finch chooses to do. But in my mind, it's a McDaniels-Fox kind of alternate, maybe not literally every other possession, but like give them each a few possessions at a time to check Fox. I think it'll be an interesting way to go about it, because both are capable, but the Kings don't have that secondary ball handler that's really dangerous and really, you know, likely to hurt you. The Kings are a fantastic offensive team, though. You know, I talked about their poor defense, which is 100% true, but they're actually the top rated offensive team in the league. They're the number one offensive rating on B-ball index, and they're good at basically everything. They play pretty fast. They're top 10 in pace. They're 8th in free throw rate. They're 7th in three-point rate. They're 9th in three-point percentage, just a hair under 37%. They're an okay offensive rebounding team. Like, there's a lot to like about what the Sacramento Kings bring to the table offensively. They just give a lot of it back on defense. So the Wolves have struggled with offensive consistency themselves, but if they can just pull it together, play well in transition, rebound the basketball, be solid defensively, I don't mind the Kings matchup for Minnesota. Now, it is on the road. It's the first time the Wolves have been to Sacramento this year. Of course, they were. This will be second night of a back-to-back, and also after spending 4 days effectively in LA. So we'll see how that is handled by the Wolves. But I don't mind the Kings matchup. Like, frankly, it worries me a little bit less than the Lakers matchup, which is strange, but I don't know. I just I don't mind it. We'll, of course, after Saturday's game, we'll also do the live postcast. So Marnie and myself on Locked On Sports Minnesota. So check that out. I want to close here today by looking at the NBA.com power rankings. And John Schumann over there does a fantastic job. And every couple of weeks, I like to check in because he does more than just simply ranking the teams. He also goes through and does like three, four paragraphs on every team. And you can tell that, I mean, main researcher is the piece and does a fantastic job. He's got the Wolves at 16, which incidentally is also where ESPN had the Wolves. ESPN has a much less scientific power ranking than Schumann at NBA.com. But he talks about, I'll just read what he says. Schumann says, the Wolves game log remains fascinating. In the last 3 weeks, they've had two of their four most efficient offensive games of the season, important road wins in Utah and Dallas. But in their other five games over that stretch, including losses at home to the Wizards and Hornets, they've scored a meager 104 points per 100 possession with 18 different players contributing to that struggle. And then he talks about their struggle right out of the All-Star break. This was, of course, written before the win on Tuesday over the Clippers. And then he talks about their bad loss against Golden State on Sunday. And then about the difficult road trip and the difficult schedule overall upcoming, but needing to rely on Anthony Edwards. He also lists out like net rating, offensive rating, defensive rating, pace, all that stuff. So go check that out on NBA.com. I think he does a fantastic job. But yeah, I mean, like it's hard to say the Wolves are anything but a middle of the pack team, right? At the moment, I mean, they're literally 500. And having them in the 15, 16, 17 range feels about fair to me. Now, you go to California, say you win three out of these four in California, not a bad road trip. So obviously to do that, they've got to win both Friday, Saturday. That's a tall task, but a banged up Lakers team and a Kings team that I think the Wolves match up with well. They've played competitively twice and beaten once. It's not outside the realm of possibility. And of course the Wolves tend to play to their competition this season. So if we see that, they should play well both Friday and Saturday. All right, we'll do the Locked On postcast after both those games on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. The audio will be available here, wherever you're listening right now. On the Locked On Wolves audio channels, you'll be able to listen to the live postcast after the fact, after it's been recorded. So check those out this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday with the regular Monday show, recapping the weekend behind us, the Friday-Saturday games, and what to look forward to when the Wolves play again on, I think they're actually off Sunday and Monday and play Tuesday. If I recall correctly. So interesting schedule here for the Wolves over the first couple weeks out of the All-Star break. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.